The boys were called edgy, told they'd never make it past 5 episodes. Here those podcast jerks are, back for season 2. The Boys in the Woods Podcast. The show your mother warned you about, and that your dad was hiding in the basement listening to. Get ready for the Boys in the Woods Podcast.
Play So Rare Fantasy Football, NBA, MLB with tradable player. Customizable fantasy sports picks for your favorite MLB, soccer, and NBA players with purchasable NFTs.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Charles. We had a lot of shit went down. A lot of shit went down.
Lots is going down. Lots is going down. Ooh, child. First off, we just got done watching Marquette. Squeak it out past Colorado. Congratulations, Marquette. What do we talk about first? I tell you what. Congratulations, Michigan, on their head coaching hire. Let's start with Michigan's head coaching hire. FAU. Let's pull up a little bit on him. While you're pulling that up, man, I'd like to make a quick side note, see what you're thinking about this.
Yeah.
I think we hired a coach way too soon, to be honest with you. I like the guy. I like our hire, but I don't think Calipari is going to be at Kentucky for very long.
Why would this take a divorce? You would take Calipari over a guy who can't. Calipari has not been a good coach for how many years?
That's seasons. I agree. Seven I don't disagree. Seasons. Was it 2018 since a win? And
yeah.
And the guy we've got here now, he's done some magical shit at FAU.
He brought a team to the Final Four last season that literally did not belong there.
I agree.
Nobody can do that. And by the way, you know who actually made this hire? If you look into it, John Beilein. He's the one that stuck his neck out for him. Yeah, he's the one that said hire this guy. That's
fantastic. I'm not against the hire.
I don't think there was a better coach. Louisville wanted him.
Even Louisville wanted him?
Louisville wanted this guy to the fact that they actually said that he was locked up with Louisville. And then he said, I'll take an interview with Michigan. And I guess Dickhead, we call him Dickhead because we don't like him. Michigan's AD.
Yeah.
We won't even say my name. Yeah. And he met with Beilein and him, and then they met with him on a phone call. And they apparently that phone conversation convinced him to join Michigan's team. So that was enough.
The recruiting for me, and I'm walking, let's pretend I'm walking into this blindly, okay? Because you'll have that, if Calipari does leave Kentucky,
he's going to be a big name. That buyout is so big. It's ridiculous amount of money. It's $70 million.
But the majority of Kentucky's fan base, from my understanding, wants him gone.
Here's the thing. What you bring Calipari in, you have the same recruiting as you had with Howard. Juwan Howard got 5-star recruits. He got 4 high 4-star recruits. You get the same players. They're fighting for the same guys.
Now, is the recruiting, does Michigan basketball have the power to continue that recruiting?
They don't need to. They went to a national championship with 3 stars. Teams that are winning it aren't winning it with 5 stars anymore.
No, I don't disagree with you. And Michigan,
so you don't need to, you technically don't need to recruit. You need a coach. Yeah. And that's what they went out and got. I honestly love the hire. I'm glad they pulled the trigger because now he can recruit the players that he wants. We want dogs like Jack Golke on our team. Guys that played 5 years at Division II schools. I don't care. Bring me back the Duncan Robinsons.
Quick fun stat of the day about that guy. I know this has been mentioned a few times, but it blew my mind. We're talking about the face of this year's March Madness. The dude from Oakland, Rochester, Michigan, not California, not Oakland, California, Rochester, Michigan. I believe he took 325 shots this year, and only 8 of them were 2-pointers.
He's actually from Pewaukee, Wisconsin. He played at Hillsdale College.
Yeah.
In Rochester, Michigan. Yeah. He went to a church school, college, basketball.
When he was asked about those 8 shots that weren't 3-pointers.
Yeah, that's the best part.
One, my foot was on the line, and the other 7 were breakaway layups I had to take. I wasn't happy.
Yeah, he couldn't pop up for 3.
I'm like, you son of a bitch, man. That's too funny. But congratulations to them. Congratulations to that story. They fought hard. They ended up losing, I believe, to NC State on that one, which rolls us right into, because they were the team to beat Kentucky, correct? Kentucky. Yeah. So they were the team to beat Calipari. We'll see what happens with that. I don't think I'm going to be shocked if he's not Kentucky's head coach next year. I think that fan base expects more.
What would that fan base get?
I don't know. I understand what you're saying there. I do. But you, in the very beginning, when I had mentioned Calipari to Michigan, your shout out exactly, I don't think he's won a tournament game since 2018.
No, I'm saying Michigan took the second best option. Who's gonna replace him?
No,
You're gonna get a guy who doesn't have the wins, doesn't have the experience. He's probably the best recruiter in college basketball. He has been for years, but he's not the best coach. He may be the best recruiter, but he's clearly not the best coach. The same thing you can say for Izzo. He's 69 years old. He can't relate to the players anymore. These are the things you keep hearing over and over again. Yeah. Same thing that we heard from Alabama head coach football, Saban.
When did the head coaches stop utilizing their assistants in a manner that is such? Are they just afraid they're going to lose their job? Because I can go into a front office and tell you straight up, yeah, this guy runs the offense, but he does nothing else.
Probably.
If you want him to go be a head coach, let him go be a head coach. I'm going to find another offensive mind because that's what I do. And we're going to keep this thing running like a choo train. All right. So at what point in time did the head coaches fear losing their job to one of their assistants? What else could it be?
Well, basketball might be the only sport where do assistants really even matter?
They did it in Michigan's ordeal, the head coach, in a sense.
Scenario, but how often does that happen in a season?
I mean, the coaching tree in basketball is a little different. You don't hear about it as much as you do in other sports. Like, where's Coach K's coaching tree? I'm sure it's massive. I'm sure it's well. And right now, his protege has taken over Duke. But that's what we see, actually, now talking it out loud. We see the next groomed person. No, off the top of my head, you would have Becky Hammond from Pop, right? That's something that you could, Greg Popovich, the Spurs, Becky Hammond. So you can tie that one together. Steve Kerr and Mike Brown. But did Steve Kerr make Mike Brown? Mike Brown was a good coach before Steve Kerr.
Now you're talking about NBA. NBA guys go all over the place. They
just coaches, more so with coaches, right? Because, yeah, these are just off the top of my head. I cannot think of a scenario with college.
Most college tenured. They stay there for at least 10 years. Hell, you got the guy from Oakland who's been there for 40 years.
Right, no, I'm saying, but they're coaching trees, right? Like, you don't hear about it as much in college basketball.
No, you don't hear about it in basketball, period, because I think basketball's cutthroat. I think you can coach for a season and get fired.
That's what I'm saying. So where did the head coaches decide that the people they've hired aren't good enough to do what they're supposed to do, right? Like, you would got to think that I've got an offensive mind with me and a defensive mind with me, and I'm ensuring that these two are putting the guys through what they need to be through, right?
Probably like, just the people at the top probably just name recognition. They know they're not going to lose their job to somebody that nobody knows.
Right, but I mean, this example leads into the Calipari situation. He's a great recruiter, but a terrible coach.
He'll get a job no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. But how does he bring in an offensive mind then? Is that where it goes, or does he continue the path he's going down? Because he lost with old players and he's lost with young players, right? I think he was old. He went into the transfer portal, pulled a bunch of people. And I believe had a first round exit with that team.
They keep talking about him possibly going on the West Coast and coaching like an Oregon or a USC or something like that.
But with the landscape of the Big Ten and the SEC basically taking over college football.
I can see him taking over a Big Ten program or an SEC program. Yeah.
I would think he would end up going to the Big Ten.
Yeah. Or maybe Louisville. He's been in the SEC for so long. Yeah. So.
Maybe he wouldn't want that.
Maybe the pressure is too big.
Like Bill Belichick, AFC, I don't want to, if I'm not going to coach the Patriots, I don't want to coach against the Patriots unless it's a Super Bowl, so I'm going to go to the NFC.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. The SEC's in trouble regardless. Would they go 0-3 halfway through or through the first day, and then I think they're 3-5 right now?
Yeah,
as this day started, they were 3-5. Yeah, they have the worst losses in the tournament so far. Which leads us right to the SEC commissioner opening his big-ass mouth. When is this dude going to shut the hell up?
Never.
He came out and said all that bogus bullshit during the football championship. Yeah, that worked out real well for you. At least you got one playoff game money. So you didn't belong there. You didn't belong there. I don't care what you say. That's one of those scenarios where, oh, yeah, so-and-so was the best. They didn't win. So how can you tell me they're the better team if they didn't win? Bottom line, story's over. They didn't win.
Yeah.
Moving forward, you were gifted a spot, got your fucking ass kicked, didn't win. Didn't belong there. Now here you are, opening your fucking mouth. SEC championship. I don't think these low bids need to get in. Blah, blah, blah. 3-5 by the, you're probably worse than that by the end of day two.
He got his ass reamed by the fans. So it was bad enough. Yeah, he got to hear it from people for sure.
You might not hear certain things about the SEC, but damn, you hear a lot of them saying some dumb shit often. So I'd rather take my speeding ticket every once in a while than listen to that stupidity over and over again. For the love of God, get your thumb out your ass, put on your glasses, and walk a straight line. Cheese and rice.
You know what the worst part about that he opened his mouth about that is?
Yeah.
Is that he didn't, his only dog in the fight was that they got those that many teams in there for the first time in I don't remember how many years.
Usually it's the Big Ten.
Yeah, and he's expecting a national championship out of it. And I think that's probably why. Now the freaking smoke is just swirling around him that he said that. And I don't believe they have a chance.
Off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I don't have an SEC team moving forward at this point. Honest, Trevor's in the window, man. I really do. My three favorites left right now, as we speak, Purdue, Houston, and Iowa State. I like those three. I think they're playing tough. They're playing hard. Iowa State's playing hungry. You could come at me with that stat all you want. They average less than 2 wins a tourney. Well, Iowa State's your anomaly. They're now 2 wins in and 2 dominant wins in. Well done, Iowa State.
They did struggle on the first half, though.
Yeah.
I think that's what got people worried a little bit, is that they...
I believe that has a lot early. To do with their turnover, right? At what point, I think, there's a handful of teams that were playing less than 37 hours after they finished, but didn't even know who they were playing. Or they knew who they were playing, but couldn't, like, you can't, you. I know who I'm playing a couple hours before I play to find out if I'm moving forward.
That's North Carolina.
There's no way I'm doing homework in those couple of hours about a damn Oakland team while I'm still preparing to make it into the next round. You know what I'm saying?
NC State is going
to
play 9 games in 13 days when they play their next game.
Yeah, so.
That's insane.
That's definitely a hybrid bet. You definitely want to. So, who else could jump out at you? Let's be real. Who else?
Because I think an underrated team that nobody's they're blue blood. Let's take it. But they're young. They're very young. Duke is a team that I think that nobody's ACC. Really looking at. Yeah.
North Carolina, maybe ACC. I'm trying to name an SEC team left, right? Hey, you want to fight, bitch? I'm trying. You know what? Let's be fair. I've got it right over here. I'm going to pull it up real quick. Let's see. There's got to be an SEC team in here somewhere, right? Because I like Marquette.
Alabama plays Grand Canyon at 6 o'clock.
Okay, Alabama plays Grand Canyon. So the winner of that plays North Carolina.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yep, exactly.
So I guess Alabama is their last hope.
Yep.
Wait, Tennessee. Tennessee's good. Tennessee's good. But that's the last. Dude, it's the only bracket I have left that's perfect, is my Midwest bracket. I'm perfect in the Midwest right now. I just need Purdue to beat Utah State, and I'll be perfect at the end of day two. My West bracket has a little bit of red. My South bracket, bro, since we're here, terrible. Yeah.
I think everybody's is. I've got so much red going on. That's why I got the flames going on up in the corner here, Charles. That was my terrible. That's my own bracket. That's my bracket up there. The one up in the corner, that's mine.
Dude, I've picked Houston right, it's Duke on fire. Right, and Marquette right. That's it. Everything else is trash. Gone. Trash. I expect you beat Northwestern. Yeah. That's, yeah, it's just, it's magical. Iowa State, yeah, it's, I like Iowa State's defense, but again, I don't see Alabama getting past North Carolina.
No,
even if, even if Alabama comes out and shoots 60%, they would have to shoot 45% from three and 60% from the field while holding North Carolina to sub 40 or sub 38% from the field. I just don't see Alabama doing that. So congratulations, Alabama. You're the SEC's last hope. That sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Tennessee. We got Tennessee and
Alabama. Oh, yeah. I forgot about Tennessee. Sorry.
I got Tennessee in the national championship game versus UConn. So I'm hoping they're going to keep on continuing.
You love Tennessee. Yeah, I
did. Mandy loved them so much she took them.
Yeah. I don't have them getting past Purdue. Actually, I don't have them getting past Creighton. I don't have Tennessee getting past Creighton.
The sad thing is, after watching what Wisconsin did to Purdue in the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah.
I don't, and then Wisconsin getting waxed by James Madison.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
I don't have the Big Ten outside of Illinois really high in regards.
Yeah,
I think this is actually gonna be a tough matchup for Purdue coming up here at 145 or whatever it is
against Utah State.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't disagree with you because of what Purdue has done, but every team this season, outside of really UConn, has gotten smashed by a 10 or worse.
Yeah, because Creighton was the only team that made UConn look mediocre all season, and that was one game.
So, Utah State there?
No, Creighton beat UConn earlier this season by 20 points. That was the only team to make UConn look mediocre.
I liked Creighton versus Tennessee, and
that's a good matchup.
I wouldn't be upset. I could see it. Tennessee's playing really good.
Yeah.
And if I've got the same love for Iowa State, I thought Iowa State should have been a one.
This point, come on, Northwestern. Northwestern, UConn. That's a very intriguing matchup.
Northwestern can shoot the three, if I remember.
And they play defense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I do have UConn getting past Northwestern, but I don't have UConn getting past San Diego State. And at the start of the tournament, I felt okay about that. I did. Now, I hope San Diego State gets their fucking head on straight.
Right?
Or they get past Yale. It's been really good.
Yeah.
I struggled with the Houston-Purdue matchup.
If it gets to that point, two number ones. Houston is one of those teams where they could be unbeatable, or they can play sloppy basketball, and you could get a 59-56 basketball game.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's why I struggled with it. Houston's defense, if it comes down to Houston-Purdue, right?
Yeah.
Houston's defense is fantastic, but Houston doesn't have a guy for Zach, right? And my thought process with this is that the head coach at Purdue utilizes the guy nobody can stop this year, right? That's my theory. And you hope that a college kid doesn't get upset that he only has three shots and takes an ill-advised shot here or there.
Here's the key to beating Purdue. Here's the key to beating Purdue.
Wisconsin.
Yes, but I'm going to tell you how Wisconsin beat them. They didn't let Purdue get to the free throw line. They did let him get to the free throw line, but not the 25, 26 times that they're used to.
And that's how you beat. Or hack-a-shacking Zach, which is a terrible idea.
Yes, because he's like an 80% free throw shooter. But that's how you beat Purdue, is you do not give them 26 free attempts, 26, 30 free throw attempts, because they're going to make 80% of them.
And it would be a really nice matchup. And that's more, I do have trouble at times looking at a scenario and not just seeing it in black and white, right? Like you've got the best guy on the court. You've got a team that you've had for a few years now. At this point, as the coach, you should be knowing the plays that are working. You should be pushing them through. And in barring some crazy-ass Florida injury, fucking Yale.
Yale.
Fucking James Madison University. Mr. 325 schedule strength. I don't know if I'm more upset at Wisconsin for losing, or I'm more upset at Wisconsin for not being ready.
I was actually more impressed, Charles, with James Madison being able to compete. They did beat Michigan State earlier in the season.
Absolutely.
Early in the season.
Absolutely.
But
they, when you look at their field goal percentage and you look at this and you look at that, it all panned out to really well. And them beating Wisconsin, like, yeah, absolutely. They're 31.
Would you say the Badgers beat themselves? I think they had over 20 turnovers. They had over 20 turnovers. Unforced
the Badgers
turnovers.
They were not prepared.
No.
And they were playing tired.
How you know what Mandy playing? Told me?
How are you playing tired?
Mandy watched the game and she goes, man, that team is scrappy. And that's what that's what makes me think about them. When I think about JMU, I was like, they're scrappy.
Yeah. And I may have focused too much on their strength of schedule coming in at 325.
Yeah, you mentioned that a few times. 325.
It's like, how do you...
I get it.
How do you lose... You were a top five team in the country. You had a small hiccup.
You know who else was in the 300s for strength of schedule?
Who's that?
Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and look what they did.
Absolutely. And that's the beautiful thing about March Madness. It's the one thing in American sports you can't get anywhere else because they're too good. There isn't a D2 NFL team. There isn't even the... When do you see an NBA versus a G League team outside of the All-Star Dunk Contest?
But in
March Madness, you have D2s going up against D1s, making memories, making history.
So this is like a Cincinnati, this is like a Cincinnati-Alabama type deal where they met in the bowl game and nobody gave them a chance against Alabama and then they beat Alabama. That's about the closest thing you get to March Madness.
When somebody who's supposed to be somewhere else fumbled at the end of the year, or who everyone thought they were supposed to be somewhere else, because you are where your record puts you, regardless of what you think you can do.
They're not beating one seeds, but they're impressing people with their wins. That was an impressive win.
Georgia would have beat Michigan by 25. You didn't even beat Alabama.
Yeah.
What?
They actually talked about this. They talked about the fact that had a full, healthy Washington played any other team that day that they played Michigan, they probably would have beat them.
Absolutely. Anybody else they would have beat. Nobody had them to beat Texas. They handled Texas.
Because they said that the Michigan's defensive line just manhandled their O-line.
Absolutely.
And they did that all year.
It was bad.
And guess what?
In the trenches. Here,
you want to know something funny? Michigan's entire D-line... outside of one player, is back this year. Mason Graham is the best defensive tackle in the NFL. Is going into the NFL next season. He's going to be the number one defensive tackle.
And we have the number one cornerback.
Yeah, number one corner. Yep. And you have a good safety. And I believe they've got enough weapons on offense.
It'll be neat to see, definitely.
I think they're going to probably end the season around like 13th or 14th probably in the rankings. I think they're going to lose two games. I think they will probably lose to Ohio State.
Two games takes them out of the playoffs?
Yeah, because I think that I do not believe – I looked at some of these other teams' schedules, and I'm like, there's too many teams that don't play enough.
Yeah, but when something – a way too early prediction on that is fantastic. Something I'm going to hold solace on to is that you have the Big Ten and the SEC, and a two-loss Big Ten team is going to get in over a one- or no-loss somebody else team. It's going to come down to an eyeball test. You have your automatic bids, and they get it from there. It relies on your strength of schedule.
The only thing that I can see them negating that is if you have a 13-0 South or Central Florida team.
But that team would be in via an automatic bid already.
But
so
that's
you're not
the problem.
You're not going to have that 13-0 team. Sitting there. They're going to have one loss.
Fanatic Sports Gear, proudly endorsed by the Boys in the Woods podcast, where the boys shop for all their jerseys and sports cards.
But if you looked at the schedules last year, there's only a couple two-loss teams in those top 10s, top 12s.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you, but I might not be explaining this correctly. Okay, so listen, so the Big Ten and the SEC, they have multiple bids, right? I think it's two each. The rest of the Power Five or the rest of the schools, they each have one. All of them, all of the conferences have one fucking bid guaranteed. So there's no way you're going to have two of those schools.
All of the Power
Five.
No,
even those, even the shitty ones. Even the shitty ones, dude. Even the,
how are they? How is that going to work?
I don't.
If a team's not in the top 25, you can't put them in the fucking top 12.
They get their automatic bid.
I didn't see that. I thought it was only the top 12 teams. They just picked from it.
Well, pull it up real quick because I
knew there was five automatic qualifiers, and I thought that's it.
Who gets auto bids?
I thought it was just five. There was only five autos.
College.
I'm pretty sure it's only five.
The five highest ranked conference champions,
that's it.
Which
just
will receive
five.
The seven highest ranked teams remaining.
Exactly. See, there's only five.
The top four teams will receive first round byes in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, so it's only five.
Regardless,
teams.
Again, there will never be. I don't. The eyeball test. I don't care if you're 13-0 in a shitty ass conference. A 2-loss Big Ten or SEC school is going to get in over you. If somehow or another that the other 11 teams were better than a 13-0, what are we talking about? Sun Conference school, right? You're not going to. That's football, dude. You're not going to get that love. The committee just took out Florida State, right? They were a Power Five. So I don't know. I can't see it. We'll see what happens. It would be interesting if it did happen. But that school would get smacked.
You're going to see the two teams probably that make the championship game in the Big Ten and SEC for sure, no matter what those teams are. Unless it's like Iowa and they have seven losses. You know what I mean? In the West.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
no, I don't disagree with you. But if Michigan has three losses, then yeah. But a 2-loss school, and what are those two losses? Ohio State, maybe.
Penn State.
And Penn State?
Depends on how those teams do. If those are bad losses, do you put them in? What if Penn State only wins six games and they lose to them? Are you putting them in because they lost to Ohio State by 20? I guess it just depends. It's the eyeball test. Penn State is the number five ranked team in the going into the
Who's their head coach?
It's still their head coach is the same guy. We still talk about Dick Franklin.
I'm not worried about
it's
fucking
Dick
Penn
Franklin.
State.
Dick fucking Franklin. Charles.
At what point in time is that in that dude's career has he beat the big school? When?
No, but he does always. So. They're always in the top 12.
Okay,
so that's what you get. That's what you get with him. Yeah. He's consistent. He's consistently average.
But Penn State, okay. All right, yes, if somehow or another Michigan, loses to fucking Penn State, I don't know, dude. Okay. Yeah, no. We can create a buttload of scenarios that make it so this could or could not happen. That's the road we're walking down. I don't disagree that it couldn't happen. I'm just saying a 2-loss Big Ten school is not getting overlooked from a 13-0 Sun Conference fucking school.
No, I just want to go through the last year's final rankings so that you can understand that it's going to happen to at least one team. One team is going to get left out for one of these teams. It's not a matter of you and I caring about it. We know it's going to happen because there's like an SMU. SMU was 10-2. When they beat three top 25 teams, they were 9-0 in their conference, 12-2. They were like number 10.
What's their loss, though?
I think they lost their bowl game.
Their win loss. What was it?
The 10-2.
Oh, 10-2. So that's a 2-loss team, though.
Yeah.
Does that 2-loss team get in over the 13-0?
I'm talking about these mid-tier teams. I'm not talking about what you were talking about, like FAU or something. I'm talking about these teams that are Conference USA, like a Fresno State or something. If these teams go undefeated, they're in the top 10, they're going to be in the top 8, top 9 teams. You can't leave them out.
How many top 20 wins would they have? How many top 20? What if they're 13-0 with no top 25 wins?
I don't know if they're really going to matter because they're going to want to give them a shot. We're talking about.
That would be a terrible playoff. That would be a terrible.
You're going to put a 2-loss team in there because we've had this issue with the 4-team
playoff. Indubitably, I would. Without looking in that specific scenario, that 13-0 team.
The whole reason they went to 12 teams is so that wouldn't happen. What you're saying. Yes, but 2-loss team deserves to be in over an undefeated team.
But how would a 13-0 team with zero top 25 wins be ranked higher than a 10-2 team with three top 20 wins?
Because if they have three losses, is what I'm saying. Still two losses.
But we see this in the college football playoffs all the time, dude. We see like JMU, actually, perfect example. They were undefeated. I think the highest they got was 15.
Yeah, but they also play in like the ninth-ranked conference in football. I'm not talking about those teams. I'm talking about an SMU or a Conference USA team. I'm not talking about Southland Conference fucking team or something. I'm saying it's possibly going to happen to a Central Florida, a USF, South Florida. One of those type of teams is going to be up there because they played the weak-ass schedules. I'm not saying that these teams are going to make it. I'm just saying it's going to be a conversation that we're going to have, that these teams could kick out one of these 10-2 teams. I'm not saying. Yeah,
I don't disagree with you. My answer to that is strength of schedule.
But
that's been like the history of the NCAA also.
But the whole reason they went to 12 teams is so that we could have an even playing field and not.
Well, they're even going to 14 now, by the way.
Exactly,
they're,
and they don't have those arguments that you're trying to make. It'd be like that team does deserve it because they went undefeated. The 10-2 team shouldn't have lost two games. I'm just saying that's what the argument is.
Yeah, if you want to, there, if you throw at the strength of schedule and all of that, the metrics out of the window and just go, you lost two games and you didn't, so I'm going to put you in, that's not going to get you the best football game.
A two-loss team has never won a national championship, so there's also that.
Oh, what conference are you talking about? Have they ever won a national championship?
No, but I'm saying a two-loss team's never won a national championship. So why is it a two-loss team deserve to be there?
In the former playoff structure, yeah, a two-loss team's never won because has a two-loss team ever got in?
Yes. Alabama got in the playoff this year as a two-loss team.
Okay, so the one chance off the top of our minds.
Well, I think Alabama, Georgia, those teams have made it multiple times with two losses into the championship.
But that's splitting hairs then. The two-loss team's never won, but neither has a MAC team or a USA conference team or whatever.
A MAC team has never been allowed even in it. So, I mean,
that has everything to do with the metrics, though.
Well, Cincinnati, there was that one year. Was it Cincinnati or what the hell was it? Was it South Florida or? Yeah, one of those teams went 13-0. Remember, they were like fifth in the country.
Yeah, UCF.
That's what it was, yeah. They had their shot, but like you said, that one was pretty cut and dry that they shouldn't have fucking been there.
Every single time this has happened in history, bro, every single time people forget why they are where they are, every single time, then somebody gets fucking bumped out that should be there to remind the people why, like... It's
the only time this is ever going to work out in their favor, and you agree to disagree with me on this one, is if Central Florida, one of these teams, James Madison goes and they win every game 70-3 or 70-0, and then they're sitting their asses at halftime with a 40-point lead every game, and they just coast.
I was just going to say, because that follows suit with the eyeball test. If you're beating, if your strength of schedule is 300, but you're beating teams 90-3, you're not where you're supposed to be. You know what I mean? Now, if you're winning 47-38 or 47-40, if you're letting these 300 schools fucking score on you, you're not scoring as much against these other defenses, which has been proven over and over
again. I just feel like you and I are going to have this conversation when multiple it comes times. To the... there's going to be at least one or two teams that you and I are both not going to agree on.
I think a lot of that too has me sitting on numbers more than feelings.
Oh yeah, we're going to go through the analytics of all of it. We're going to be like, we're going to break it down.
But it doesn't, I think, I don't know.
I like the way basketball
strength of schedule doesn't always matter. # JMU VS # Wisconsin.
325. You got Utah State up on Purdue 6-2 right now. Watch your backs.
Fucking Utah State, man. That'd be so awesome.
It's two minutes into the game, man.
College is dominated by football. We find ourselves doing this a lot. But something I did want to bring up. Did you see that Kim Mulkey story? Did you see the situation with the Washington Post?
So apparently she wants to sue him for defamation
if they post the article, she's going to sue them.
What did she say to the Post that made him want to write an article that's derogatory towards her? What's in that article?
So Mulkey alleges that the Post misled two of her former college coaches with the reporter leaving messages that the reporter was with me in Baton Rouge to get them to call him back, trying to trick these coaches into believing that I was working with the Post on the story. She said, here's the thing. I really haven't been able to find out what's in the story yet. That's because it hasn't been released.
Yeah. No.
And if 100% of the time, the loudest person in the room has the most to lose.
Yeah.
Now, she's talking about defamation. Unfortunately, if the information is true, it's not definite.
Yeah,
you can't. There's nothing. Nobody's going around and calling you a dude or not a dude or any of that scenario, right? That
no,
you could find yourself in. It's like,
sounds like
hey,
a weird threat to me, does it not? It sounds like she's threatening them before.
On a 2-year story.
Comes out. Yeah.
They've been doing this. They've been doing research for 2 years. Who the hell continues a research project for 2 years if there was nothing there 2 weeks into it?
I don't. Here's the deal that I have with this one. Yeah, there's got to be some kind of truth to it. There's some kind of thing in this that she doesn't want public.
100%. There's two of these stories, and we'll bounce to the next one after this. It involves Shohei, but.
When people are trying to get to this, or they're trying to get ahead of the story, is usually when something is in it that they don't want getting out. She's trying to get ahead of the story.
Absolutely.
Politicians do this all the time.
100%. If you're the victim of fraud, you still have to pay taxes on the money that was taken from you.
Yes.
Okay? So remember...
Until it goes through the court system and you get reimbursed.
Right. Because I do believe Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin has just passed, put forth a bill to stop that from happening. So that would be great. Regardless, that was the foundation of this tower, right? So Mulkey's all pissed off that two of her former coaches, assuming here, speculation, two of her former assistants may or may not have confirmed or denied specifics in this story that was lacking via the 2 years needed to tie this story together. So I'm guessing the Washington Post, because that's who we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
I believe. The right. Washington Post,
yeah.
Right? Not Fox News, but the Washington Post, Mr. Amazon, Mr. Jeffrey Bezos. Okay, so anywho, this guy, that firm, this story.
Yep.
So from my understanding now, looking at this, with knowing nothing, something has been confirmed or denied that had been holding the story up. And now the story is in motion. Do you think Jeff Bezos is upset, is worried about some potential lawsuit that he can win as long as it's the truth via the First Amendment?
I think something dirty or something deep is going to come out of this. There's something in there that is going to be...
Job threatening.
Yeah.
Career threatening.
It's going to hurt her career for sure.
But... without knowing anything, pure speculation.
Yeah.
Without knowing anything, Mulkey, from the outside looking in, feels definitively that this is a career-ending story.
It's threatening her, for sure,
because,
100%.
Because she went up there and barked, and at the beginning I was like, oh, damn. And then I immediately put myself in the newspaper's shoes and went, I'm going to go ahead and go through with this.
You just made the decision for us. We're definitely going through with this.
I have to go through with this. If I don't go through with this, I'm now saying out loud that I was attempting to defame you in every way, and I have a personal vendetta against you. If I do process it, I allow the truth to be told and heard how it should be, whether that truth be a false narrative or a true story.
I'm thinking pure speculation, like we say. I think either they have A, audio, B, video evidence, or C, they have face-to-face evidence where it's right. Someone's testimony or whatever you want to say it. Because, they're basically calling her out for something.
Because if it was something incredibly heinous in terms of money or physical nature via a body, yada, 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 the Washington Post, exactly, the Washington Post wouldn't be holding a fucking story for 2 years. This shit would be Sandusky'd out the ass. So we're not talking about anything like that. Supposedly,
and it's got to be huge, because otherwise you think they would just be like, let's just let bygones be bygones. Because, well, Irish.
That's what I'm saying, broski. Yep. And for her to be coming out after a tournament win, March Madness, and be talking about it. Yeah, yeah. I thought for sure that Mulkey would be defending the fact that she was like, yo, I wish that chick would have done that to Angela Reese. Like, we know Mulkey's a dog. Yeah. You get it? It comes out in your comments. Should you say those things? No. But if you're going to say that, you've done something else, and the Washington Post found out.
You've done some other stuff, so some other questionable things have been happening in your life.
So, unlike the deep fake story that was the Kate Middleton, shout out to The Crown. Well done. Hope everything goes well with you and your cancer. Much love there.
Yeah, yeah. God, the conspiracy theorists. We love you guys, but my goodness, maybe y'all should just keep to yourselves. Just keep to yourself sometimes.
Sometimes that cuckoo clock's only supposed to go off a few times a day. You know what I'm saying? Right. They're supposed to be cuckooing down the whole damn clock here.
They're saying, hey, give her some personal space. I guess you guys can understand maybe why she was needing that personal space.
And not to get dark with
it,
but y'all over there should have definitively had the image of Princess Diana just like in every news outlet over there, because y'all haven't figured that out yet. I don't know.
Charles, from
you made Harry leave.
Let's just roll right through it. That transition right from the king of the court to the king of the diamond. What about Shohei Ohtani?
Yeah. So here's the thing. I've got some speculation on this. Okay.
That's a wild story. Wild story. Want to break it down for us?
It's ridiculously wild, and I don't necessarily know all of the figures here, right? But there are some things that just don't make sense to me. Okay. So
the
number
Dodgers
one
fired. His
the Dodgers fired Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, and this interpreter is like their best friend. This dude spends more time with Shohei than his own wife. They are super connected. I'm worried we're going to see this dude kill himself soon. But
I hope not.
That's that culture, the love, the bond that those two share. I'm telling you, if it's
so
true.
Shohei is on his side, though, because I believe he asked his team for a formal investigation into the gambling aspects of it.
It was the investigation was asked into how the money was taken from Shohei's account.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, though, okay? And this is some...
Because what is
some,
$4 million? Around
critical
$4 million?
Thinking. Here's some critical thinking. It was $4.5 million.
All right.
Let's say you're a bookie. Let's just pretend. Let's put ourselves in the bookie shoes. Sure. Are you going to let somebody who makes maybe six figures a year rack up a $4.5 million debt without knowing that person indubitably had the ability to pay what he was gambling? Not, oh, I'm best friends with Shohei, I can pay this back. Oh, okay, yeah, that's cool. No, there had to be some concrete something that allowed this bookie to look at a gentleman making less or about six figures a year to rack up a $4.5 million debt. Who's your backer? The other thing that does not sit right with me is that you personally, Patrick, cannot transfer, wire transfer, $500,000+ from a account to another without definitive acknowledgement that the person of the account is sending it via that wire. Right. I don't know of a fucking bank in the world, dude, that is going to let a $500,000 transfer happen via text message.
No, that's why in movies and stuff, when they move tons of money, they're moving it between 50 to 100 different banks at one time. Smaller amounts, yeah.
So to add to this conspiracy theory, I think the MLB is trying to save their golden child. I 100% think the MLB is trying to save their golden child on this. I don't think they want another Pete Rose. I don't think they can afford Shohei to be a Pete Rose. And that's exactly what's happening.
It does seem like the speculation, obviously, Charles and
conspiracy.
I do, that Shohei possibly could have had a little bit of a gambling problem, and maybe this is the fall guy. That's what you may be thinking. A lot of people are thinking this too. It's not just us.
You can we can throw in all of this other stuff. The solid points just don't make sense.
No,
the
no,
foundation is over here, and everyone's trying to make you try to get you to build a building on this mud flood over here to the left. And it's, whoa, why? What's going on here?
Yeah.
This right here. What is this? Why are we over here? I think that's what needs to. And again, the smart move was, hey, we need an investigation into how this money was taken from the account.
That screams, hey, give us a little bit of time to sweep some stuff underneath.
Boys in the Woods merchandise.
Get yourself some Boys Podcast swag here at boysinthewoods906.shop.
Yeah, I would surely like to know. Here's another kicker, too. If we don't see Shohei Ohtani move all of his money out of his bank, if we don't hear about this happening, about him switching banks soon.
Yeah.
How are you? You let some dude who's not me transfer $500,000 not once, not twice, but four fucking times?
Who else has that bank account information? That's what I would think, realistically.
So the shit's just not adding up. And if Pete Rose isn't in the Hall of Fame next year, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm never done with baseball. I love baseball. So something's got to get figured out.
If he lost $4.5 million, though, he must not have been a very good gambler.
He must not have been a very good gambler.
No, I'm saying that the guy.
I agree. But that's the most, that's the worst thing, bro. That's the thing that just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, we're not dealing with Rain Man here. We're dealing with freaking
I'm a bookie that has the ability to lose $4.5 million. Do you think I got there by just you coming up to me and going, my best friend is so-and-so. If I lose, he'll pay for me? Cool.
And if he did, say that, it's going to lead back to him regardless because he's going to be his backer. He was a bankroll.
That's what I'm saying.
So he might as well have speculation again, like we say. If he was, like you said, bankrolling him, it's going to come back on him that he was involved with it. And guess what? You might as well have just been throwing the chips at the casino for him on the table.
How much does Shohei Ohtani's interpreter make a year? We could Google it and figure it out. But let's continue the speculation. I'm going to guess. You look it up, I'll guess. Yeah, you Google it, I'll guess. $250,000 a year because it's Shohei, but your basic interpreter's making 90, maybe 90K a year.
It's the number two search thing on the internet for baseball right now.
Should be right now. Yeah, absolutely.
CBS, between $300,000 and $500,000 a year. It did not. Ms. Hurara told ESPN he had been paid $300,000 to $500,000 annually, according to sports outlets. That's per CBS Sports, by the way. So that is.
That's who a knows? Lie. That's a lie. Okay. So again, now so if
$4 million,
we had
Charles, is how many years of his? That's 8.5 years of his salary.
Let's just say he got the max. Let's say so he got $500,000.
Completely.
He's not paying a bill. Nope. He's not buying food. He's got a family.
Yeah. What does he got for a house?
He's got a family. Yeah. His wife isn't spending any money at all.
Yeah.
Nobody's spending any money at all. That's how this works out. Come on. You think we're all that stupid? I guess so. Not a lot of people are talking about
39
this.
Years old. If you guys want to know who he is, his name is Epe Mizara. Mizuhara.
Wonderful
Epe
dude.
Epe Mizuhara.
He's a good dude.
I think I'm saying that.
I think you did wonderful. I'm just glad it's not me trying to say it. I think you did wonderful. He's probably a really good dude. Him and Shohei were great friends.
Look at the guy. He don't look like a sports gambler at all. He looks like the guy that's doing TED Talks.
And there was a handful of members of the Los Angeles Angels were asked, and none of them wanted to be quoted. But they all basically under their breath stated that Shohei doesn't really pay attention to any other sports, so I doubt he would be gambling IP would be gambling for him.
Wow, Charles. This is a new one. Usually somebody that's as prominent as his interpreter would come up with a net worth. Guess what? It's blacked out. You can't Google it. You cannot Google it.
That has everything to do with him being under federal investigation, I bet.
But even Trump is under investigation, and I could Google his net worth.
Interesting. So this dude doesn't even have a net worth.
No, apparently
not. So he's making $300,000 to $500,000 a year, but can't manage a net worth.
Because the only thing that pops up is that he was paid $300,000 to $500,000 a year by Shohei Ohtani as an interpreter.
That makes sense. There's a tax paper somewhere. Someone in the IRS knows. Come on, let us know.
You usually have to claim that stuff. So
you definitely have to claim that. It doesn't matter where you live.
Considering how many years is he with the Angels? At least three. He's got an income.
If he was making $400,000, his take home was sub $320,000. Yeah. So even if he averaged
California,
about three,
Shit, California.
And it was California. It's even worse than that. I think he was 40 or 60% of that shit.
Yeah, she's making like a buck. So this dude ain't got, he'd have to use like 15 money years coming of his, from? 15 years of his salary to be able to make one bet, one $4 million
so
bet.
We do have another story to get on. So I'll leave it on one question. And then if you wanted to say something else, go absolutely.
Apples, this shit just don't make sense.
How the hell is that dude able to rack up $4.5 million in debt? Where's that bookie been my whole life?
I don't know. Hopefully he don't end up Boeinged. Do you want to call him?
Yeah. Like I said.
Just say that.
This is Japan. It's something diff. Worst case scenario for Shohei, he's no longer playing baseball in America. He's playing baseball in Japan again. He's still making money.
So where was this money being gambled? Do you think this is the Yakuza? Damn, the Japanese mafia went after him. Yeah, who knows? You don't want to mess around with those guys.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully this is just FanDuel.
Talking about we might see people on the run, and it does bum us out. We were happy, okay? This is something we pointed out on a previous show. During the offseason, we generally talk about terrible teams.
Yeah, the Lions are doing okay.
If you're not a terrible team,
come up on there.
Yeah, if you're not a terrible team, we're not going to talk about you unless you're doing something magical. The Detroit Lions, they've done some magical things. They had a nice offseason. I could tell you that the fan page, Detroit Lion fan pages, they're like a hopped up kid on Mountain Dew in a candy store. They can't figure out if they're going, if they're grabbing, if they're taking, if they're selling, if they're buying. But unfortunately, we do have some pretty crazy news to talk about. Apparently, the arrest warrant issued for Lions cornerback
Cam Sutton.
Cameron Sutton.
Still on the run, as far as I can tell on here. Yeah. Apparently, he assaulted a woman, and then he fled the scene.
Via strangulation. He's wanted in Florida for domestic assault via strangulation, a felony charge. Of course, multiple felony charges on that side. From my understanding, the Detroit Lions attempted to contact Mr. Sutton four times, along with attempting to contact his agent. His agent has been attempting to contact him as well. And due to the inability to communicate at all, the Lions have now cut Mr. Sutton. Now, Cameron Sutton last year was a terrible football player. And from the looks of it, he had a bunch of shit going on in his personal life that followed over to the field. I believe he was ranked 104 out of 127 positions.
Yeah, not very good.
Players in that position. No, he was not very good. So the Detroit Lions are not missing out if that was the player that had continued. Pause. Hashtag miss you, Paul. The story behind that, though, is that if Sutton could have become the player he was supposed to be, that is a significant loss. But, dear God, we still can't find this dude. Apparently, he's roaming around in a Jeep with potential Jeep, and it should have Florida license plates. I'm guessing at this point, if nobody's found him, he's not in that Jeep no more.
No, he's probably not even in Florida anymore. He's probably in Cuba.
He was in Michigan he was supposed to be somewhere in Michigan at the time.
Yeah, he probably isn't even in the States anymore.
Yeah. You think him and Wander Franco are in the same spot?
That's entirely possible.
Wait, did I say
Franco's
that right?
In Dominican. Franco's in the Dominican, though. He's landlocked.
That is the right person, right? I don't want to be throwing mud on
anybody's Wander Franco is in the Dominican Republic. Okay, yeah. Yeah, Sutton spent 6 years with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then he went to the Lions last season. Yeah, he was set to make $10.5 million. That's insane.
Jeep Wrangler.
Signed a 3-year, $33 million contract with the Lions. So you got a $10.9 million signing bonus. So this dude's got some cash to be able to disappear.
Oh, definitely.
So.
Definitely.
That's the sad part about it.
And I can't find anything else. The last 2 days ago, NBC News had something.
No, two days ago was the last update on him. He's still a lamb. He's still missing. Yep. Still on the run.
Cameron's in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Maybe driving a Jeep Grand. Yeah.
They're saying he's everywhere. He's everywhere, man.
Man, this dude could be everywhere. Too bad he wasn't on the field doing what he was fucking supposed to. Because the Detroit Lions have a really good chance to be something special again this year. I like them to take the NFC North again until otherwise shown. I think they got better. I don't think they got worse. They were able to, somehow or another, able to retain both their OC and DC, along with extending their head coach and GM, both well-deserved. So Detroit's going to be good for a long time. They should be good for a long time. And it should be very exciting to see. I'm glad that there's so much else going on that this isn't news.
It's at the bottom of the news page. It's just something that happened. I actually think it maybe hit Twitter bigger than it hit anywhere else. It didn't really hit the sports news too hard. So that's
by golly, I hope whoever this individual is that got put through the hell they got put through, I hope nothing but the best for them. I hope they can continue to move forward.
If you're out there, Cam, you're listening, just turn yourself in. Yeah, that's the best thing for you. I'm sorry this happened to you, and I'm sorry that you're going through it, and you need help, and this person needs closure on this stuff. So just turn yourself in.
Mm-hmm.
Make an end.
The fear this individual may or may not be feeling, going to sleep every night not knowing. I hope that they're well protected, to assume the best in the scenario. Of course, family and friends, wishes to all of you moving forward in this scenario. Sad. So, big news is in the... Let's chit-chat a little bit about this WNBA speculation. And apparently the WNBA is attempting to split from the NBA.
Attempting to split as in they think they could financially support themselves, or split as in they want to be called something else other than the WNBA?
So a little bit about it. The WNBA could make a new broadcasting deal separate from the NBA as it seeks higher revenues.
This is coming on the heels of Caitlin Clark saying that she's bringing all of her marketing to the WNBA so that they believe she's going to be able to do a Michael Jordan type promotion and be able to bring in the money. Yeah.
They're talking. Caitlin Clark has the potential to boost the WNBA's revenue by 20 to 40 million.
Yeah, they're talking about a Jordan-esque manipulation of revenue change.
And it 100% the hype
is justified.
Sure. I made a couple of jokes during the Pistol Pete moment, but for the love of God, this individual is basketball, and it'll be fun to watch. I'm not seeing a whole lot about it, honestly. The WNBA, I think most of it has to do with broadcasting. I think they
probably won't be announcing it probably till after the WNBA draft. Maybe now it's just they're working out the details, and until it's actually confirmed, they probably won't bring it to light. So. We do know what's going on with it. We know that this is a power move for them trying to say, hey, we can be independent. We can make it on our own. We don't need you. Good for them.
Wow. I thought the WNBA was only adding one team. I was way wrong. Obviously, a simple Google could have shown me that.
Can we get a team in Green Bay? Charles and I will be there in the booth.
We're not on the docket yet. It appears the Bay Area, and we knew about them. But Toronto, it seems like Toronto's about to get their team.
They gave Detroit one. It was backed by Bill Ambeer's family, but still. Mm-hmm. Detroit got one. You took it away from after they won the championship.
The Lady Pistons.
Yeah.
Yeah, that year was really good for the Little Caesars people. Yeah, I think we should. We're definitely going to look more into this. I think we should start. Hell, we're well outside the clock now. The WNBA has been around for a minute, but 27 years.
They've had a few years to hash it out and figure it out.
8 teams to 12, so they've added, at this point, they'll have added 4 teams in 30 years, so it's 2 teams every 15 years. So we should see a WNBA team potentially maybe in Wisconsin somewhere in the next 15 years.
Sure. It'd probably be Milwaukee. I don't think we're going to get lucky enough to have it in Green Bay, but...
Yeah. We do have a lot in Green Bay. The Gamblers, or the Blizzard. Man, that Ref Center is always packed with a bunch of shit. WWE's coming back. It's like a surround.
Yeah, they don't stop. They just keep on using that thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. They had to remodel it like 3 times. Though. They're just like, it doesn't fit enough people. It's not new enough. So then they upgrade it. Then they just
every time they add something, they go find somebody and their name gets added to that win.
Yeah.
The same thing could be done with a women's basketball team in the WNBA. From everything I was looking at, you could get enough people together It's just a few million.
Just a few million.
It's almost like a pickleball type scenario.
I wonder how much a WNBA franchise is. What's the most expensive? That the Sparks, probably.
No, the Aces there.
Aces, LA, say, Las Vegas.
Becky's at? Yeah.
Hold on, I'm gonna look up. I'm gonna look up cheapest. Which team could we buy if we hit it?
Yeah,
big?
When we hit it big. Which team are we gonna buy when we hit it big? I'm excited about this because I want to say the Aces. You could get that. Their payroll is like 60 mil. So I'm thinking we could walk in with
only 67 million for the Aces.
That's what I'm saying.
The entire 258 million for the entire league.
So we could easily come in.
By the whole league. 17 million is what you would. There's multiple teams apparently.
Yeah. So I'm thinking if we came at it with 40 milli.
Yeah, did you see it? Reach out to everybody. You guys want to loan Charles and I $40 million?
We'll
win you a couple championships.
We're gonna win you a championship. We're gonna take the WNBA by storm.
Because we just gotta start saving pennies, bro.
We'll
have them promos out there. We'll get out there half court and be throwing half court shots, giving away hot dogs.
Can you imagine us walking into an owners meeting?
You and me? Yeah, I got an idea.
If you don't think I'm walking in with fucking
flip-flops and shit.
Flip-flops with socks on, you're out your ass.
They're going to get, one of us is getting kicked out of the meeting.
I made the money this way, or we made the money looking this way. We're living it looking this way. Right. You be ready. No, but I don't know. I can't tell you if it's a fun atmosphere. I don't know where the closest one to me is. Maybe Chicago? Yeah.
Chicago, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so
that's the closest one. Because Minneapolis has one. Right, maybe, yeah, Chicago, because Minneapolis is 3 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chicago.
What do you think happens first? An NHL hockey team in Wisconsin or a WNBA team in Wisconsin?
I bet you a WNBA team, because a hockey team takes a lot.
Yeah.
It takes a lot.
Protect yourself and your PC with NordVPN. Proudly protecting the Boys in the Woods podcast from haters since 2023.
Just find one of these cities that don't care and send it up north.
Milwaukee already has the Admirals. So they have hockey there. So they've got a fan base. They'd probably be the closest one. But they'd have to build an arena. And I don't think you could use the one in Milwaukee there because they already use it for the Marquette basketball team. And
I think what it boils down to, is that we've never walked through any of those doors yet, so we have no idea. Sitting here talking about it, I'm like, man, just go grab 60 milli, go right into the city and go, yo, I'm going to drop 40 milli. Let's throw some shit out there to the city. Let's throw like, fucking a 0.10% fucking tax for a year. We'll build a fucking stadium or something.
Just everybody out there listening, we'll start a GoFundMe. Or it'll be for Charles and the Patrick Boys in the Woods podcast, $40 million goal for us to buy a WNBA franchise and build a stadium.
We want a WNBA franchise in Wisconsin.
We just want the rings. We want to be the owners. We just want them damn rings.
We would Mike Davis the shit out of it. Oh, I'm telling you.
You're going to get Charles and I wearing like gold chains and shit walking out there like, his face there for the Jets? We'll be
Jackie Moon.
Jackie Moon at halftime. The half court shot.
Half court entertainment would be balling. I'm telling you.
Got one of those checks to give me? Hey, I don't have one of those checks to give. Just give me that one, man. Jackie, they said they wouldn't cash. The bank won't cash the check, Jackie.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. You left. I'm sorry. No. There was a 24-hour return on that. Grabbed the wrong one.
It wasn't signed. I don't know. We don't have another one to give you. Sorry, man.
We'll try to keep you guys posted via Instagram and the Facebook page on the Mulkey situation, the Lions situation, the Shohei situation. There's a whole bunch going on. Shout out to Ferrari finally winning an F1 match. It did, however, take Max Verstappen's car having a major malfunction on lap two, took him right out of it. Then Mercedes somehow or another went around the world and decided that if we ain't first, we last. They also didn't finish. Can't figure that one out. Norris, I believe it was Norris, pulled his magical move yet again, found another wall, and the F1 race ended virtual safety car. So congratulations, Carlos Sainz, yet again showing Ferrari that sacking you for Williams was the most Ferrari thing you could do. We appreciate you. For everyone else out there, thank you so much for listening, liking, clicking, subscribing, commenting, sharing. We appreciate the engagement. For those of you in our bracket, it's been fantastic. We're monitoring it. I'm sorry that I'm winning again. This is just something that it's winners do.
Again. At least you only get money this time. You don't. Sorry, Charles. We don't have a little championship trophy we can
give
away.
I'm
going
to go buy
time.
A belt. If I end up winning a this belt? Again, I'm buying a fucking belt.
We'll give you. I'll get you a little leprechaun holding an NCAA trophy. Just what you got in the background here.
And
we have coming a up. New. We have a new guest coming up. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys reach out to Richard Zuniga. He is the Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonator guy that I sent you the thing. He does all the impressions. We're going to have him do a Boys in the Woods intro.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Can't wait for this guy to come on and do his Arnold impressions for us.
That'll be so great. Also, next week, we'll be giving away the mug. So the mug will be on its way next week. I believe, to its new owner next week. Thank you guys so much for the engagement on that. It's been fantastic. You still have a little bit of time. Hop yourself in, subscribe, and comment on any of the videos we've mentioned it. I want the mug. If you find all the episodes we mentioned it in, it'll give yourself a few extra chances at that beautiful little mug. So just keep being you. The world's a much better place with you in it.
I want the mug.